Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. We'll talk to Nikki Javala, covers the Commanders, the Washington Post. She'll jump on at 8 o'clock. The Veterans Report tomorrow, training camp officially underway on Wednesday. But join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jason Sobel, Sirius XM, CBS Sports HQ golf analyst. Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing great, man. So Scotty did it. Dominating fashion. I don't know how many times, what they say, 9 for 9, 10 for 10 now, and just regular tournaments, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 for 5 now, and majors when he's had 54-hole lead. Didn't really blink yesterday, had an opportunity there where he double bogeyed, what was that, 8?
Then he birdied 9.
He birdies it right away, and it pretty much, you know, smooth sailing from there. Was never really in doubt, was it?
No, it wasn't. And look, I know some people have criticized Scottie Scheffler, if you're going to criticize the guy who's winning like this, for being quote-unquote boring. And this is what golf looks like at its highest level. Even Tiger Woods, like, Tiger missed half the fairways. And, you know, Tiger would put on some fireworks when he'd have to, you know, bend one around a tree or hit one out of the lip of a bunker. Scottie kind of does what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to stand on the tee box. The goal is, let's hit it down there as far as we can in the fairway, and then let's hit the next one on the green, and then let's go try to make the putt, because that's a birdie and those are good. And he's boiled it down to such simplicity that you almost watch him and say, well, why doesn't everybody else just try to hit it really far in the fairway and then onto the green and then roll in a putt? It feels so simple, and I can understand the notion that people look at it and go, well, it's kind of boring because, you know, he – took all the air out of the balloon. We were all excited to wake up early and watch the Open Championship and see all these great players contending for a title, and Sunday turned into a coronation. And that's because Scotty just did it better than everybody else.
Well, and a lot of people, Jay, think that his personality is boring as well. I mean, winning putt, and it looked like he had just won a college tournament. This is the Open. So that's he's also getting criticized for his personality, not just his game. What are your thoughts on that? And I just think, I mean, he did show a little emotion when he took the hat off and his wife and son came up. So he was screaming a little bit, but a lot of people criticize him because he's just not very emotional on the course.
I understand, the lack of emotion on the golf course. Again, this kind of comes hand in hand with being a great golfer. If you're out there like Tyrrell Hatton throwing clubs and, then smiling your way around when something's good. Like, there's a reason why he's one of the more talented players in the world and hasn't won a major championship. You kind of need to be a little flatlined when you're out there. That said, I would not mistake the lack of emotion inside the ropes and on the golf course for a lack of personality and a lack of anything going on with Scotty. We all heard that response of more than 5 minutes to a question in his press conference before the tournament last week, which I thought was some of the more introspective, insightful comments that I've ever heard from any superstar athlete, let alone just a golfer. So I think Scotty's got a lot going on as far as, just his thoughts internally on, what it means to be a great golfer, what it means in his life, how he sort of prioritizes that. I think it's all really, really interesting stuff.
It is interesting, but isn't it kind of, I hate to even talk about this stuff, but it's like life is kind of that way, right? You work so hard for something, you achieve it, and then a half hour later you're at dinner with your family and you're like, what's next? I mean, that's kind of life. It's how it works for all of us.
Yeah. Look, David Duval dealt with this years ago, won the Open Championship, reached the pinnacle, the mountaintop of everything he tried to achieve, and he's talked very openly about, I got on the plane, I had the claret jug, and I'm like, all right, now what? Yeah. And Scotty was very prescient in that press conference, saying, I might win this week, I'm going to have 2 major championships, you guys next week are going to be like, hey, do you think you can win the FedEx Cup?
Right.
It's something that Rory McIlroy has dealt with over the last 3 months. I don't think Rory's quite said it as eloquently and openly as Scotty Scheffler has, but Rory's entire goal since he was 6 years old was to win the career Grand Slam, to win every major championship. He did that in April, and a week later, us media guys are like, so, what's next? You going to win the next one? And, you just kind of move on. And you're right, life moves on, and that's part of what happens. But I think for these guys, there's a little bit of a struggle. And, I get that, it's very hard for the common person out there who's watching them to try to relate to, oh, wow, they won another major. You know, life must be so tough. But I think there is some sort of grappling with, like, what does it all mean? Okay, I'm the greatest for 1 week at a really special place of hitting a little golf ball into a hole that's 400 yards away. What does it all mean? What do I get from it? What do I derive from it? And how do I both celebrate what I just did and not rest on what I just did and move forward and try to do it again? I think there's a lot of different layers to it.
So, Jason, what is next for Scheffler is the Career Slam. He's 75% of the way there. The next opportunity is at Shinnecock at the U.S. Open. Do we even look now at the courses for him? Does it even matter, like, how good he is at a course? Because he's so dominant, that skill should translate to whatever course he plays on.
You know what course fits Scottie Scheffler's game? One with 18 holes and 18 cups cut into the ground with flag sticks. And I mean, it's just there's not a course right now that you would look at and say it doesn't fit him. In fact, I might suggest that the U.S. Open of the four major championships suits his game the most. Very much like I might have suggested a year ago that despite all of his ups and downs and struggles and close calls, that Augusta National had always suited Rory McIlroy maybe better than the other three major championships. And he, of course, finally got that title this year. So, look, nothing is inevitable. But Scottie Scheffler is very, very close to inevitable. And I would be very surprised if he doesn't, at some point in the next few years, claim a U.S. Open title. And if he was to do it next year, his 30th birthday just happens to be during Sunday's final round at Shinnecock, which would be kind of cool to see him do that the day he turns 30.
Talking to Jason Sobel from SiriusXM, CBS Sports HQ golf analyst. So people want to make the comparison to Tiger Woods in this era of dominance for Scottie Scheffler. Brooks Koepka kind of had an era like that. Rory had an era. Jordan Spieth as well. What makes Scheffler different than those guys?
I think what Scheffler is doing is on a higher level than all of those guys. That said, I have always maintained that we shouldn't compare anybody else to Tiger Woods. That's not fair to Tiger, and it's not fair to Scottie Scheffler. That said, there are certainly some aspects of what Scheffler is doing that are very much like what Tiger Woods did when he was in his prime. I look at just the way Scottie approaches major championships as very Tiger-like. And what I mean by that is I always thought Tiger, and revisionist history, I mean, we think back about Tiger and you go, he shot 65 every round and he won by 37. That didn't really work that way. Tiger at major championships would essentially, it's like a heavyweight prize fighter, throw a couple of jabs, see what the opponent has, see what you can take, and then you kind of move on. You don't need to go win the fight in the first round. You just make sure you don't lose it and get punched in the face. And Scottie Scheffler is very much taken on that mentality. If you listen to him after a first round, really of any golf tournament, but especially a major championship, even after the second round, he's just sort of like, ho-hum, yeah, okay, I'm on the leaderboard, that's great. And now I've gotten myself into position to where I want to be. It's a lot of that has to do, I think, with the inner self-confidence, knowing that if I go out there and just don't make mistakes, everyone around me is just going to kind of fall off the pace a little bit, and I can do my thing and go win this golf tournament. But that part of it is very Tiger-like, and there's a few other parts of what Scottie's doing that resemble Tiger. But again, I don't think it's fair to make those comparisons. If Scottie keeps up this pace for another 10 years, then we can start making those comparisons. But Tiger did it at a very high level for a very long time.
I mean, Scottie, he hadn't missed a cut since 22. If he plays poorly, he finishes 20th.
Yep.
He's got...
Well, Tiger was like that.
Comparing him to Tiger. I'm just talking about Scottie in the last couple of years. He's got 12 wins in his last, 25 tournaments? Something like that. I mean, it's absurd what he's doing right now. That's what it is. It's absurd.
Who's the biggest threat on the horizon? There are a lot of great young players coming up, too.
It's a great question. Some players might mature older than others. I still think, and he's playing live golf, so you can't really compare. I still think Rahm is one of the top five players in the world. It didn't quite show it this past week, although he's playing a little bit better at the major championships. I think Ludvig Åberg mm-hmm. is going to be a generational talent. That said, it's been a down year for him. He won earlier in the year at Torrey Pines and hasn't really done a whole lot since then, especially in the major championships. So he's so far from Scotty. I mean, it's, you know, to even mention that, to say, well, I think Ludwig's going to be pretty good in the next few years, but like, Scotty's at such a level right now that, you know, when we say someone's going to challenge him, I mean, look, he lost a major championship last month, and so did everybody else to J.J. Spawn, which we never would have seen happening. But, mm-hmm. You know, these stories happen and weird things happen, but Scotty is certainly head and shoulders above everybody else right now. And for a slow-moving game, we talked a lot about pace of play over the last week at the Open Championship. Golf moves fast. The narratives move fast. It was only about 3 or 4 months ago when Scotty Scheffler was coming off off-season hand surgery mm-hmm. and came back and didn't win for, I think, his first, eight events right. of this year. And everyone's like, I don't know, Rory might be the best player in the world right now. I don't know if Scotty's still got it. And all of a sudden, a few months later, we're like, yeah, there's no one that's touching Scotty Scheffler. He's that much better than everybody else. And but guys, one more note, and I'm going to bring this up because I just wrote a piece on it and I just did all the research. Over the last 4 years, which includes Scotty's first win in 2022 at the WM Phoenix Open, how about this for a little betting note? If you had thrown $100 on Scotty for an outright play every single time he teed it up, you would be up right now in his 81 starts. You would put out $8,100 and you'd be up $10,780.
Wow.
It's a pretty good return.
Might start doing that. Yeah, hey, real quick before we let you go, we're a couple months away, but Ryder Cup at Bethpage, what's the most interesting storyline for you, even though we're 2 months out?
I think it's got to be Keegan Bradley.
Whether or not he's going to be a playing captain, right?
Yeah. Yep. I don't think there's a way that Keegan Bradley is not on this team. He's playing such a high level of golf right now. He's top 10 in the world. I didn't see this morning where he wound up in the world ranking. He played pretty well again this past week. He was seventh coming in. He's probably still right around that. If you're seventh in the world, it stands to reason you're one of the top 12 in the U.S., and he's got to be on this team. I think nobody's more motivated to play really good golf over the first 2 weeks of the FedEx Cup playoffs, which is, I assume, the next time we'll see Keegan Bradley, because if you're in the top six, you automatically qualify. If you're not, you need a captain's pick. Knowing Keegan, and I've got to know him pretty well over the years, I've got to imagine that nothing is sort of haunting him more than having a press conference in front of the world where he says, and my next captain's pick is me. Mm-hmm. Even though he deserves it, even though nobody will argue with it, I just don't think that's in his makeup. That's not in his personality. Tiger had to do it once at the President's Cup, but Tiger's Tiger. Tiger can go, I'm taking me, and everyone goes, yeah, of course you are. You're Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. Keegan Bradley says, I'm taking me, especially after the drama of 2 years ago when he coulda, shoulda, woulda been on that team and didn't make it. I just think it's a little strange for him. I think it's a weird predicament, but unless he goes out there and wins or finishes very near the top of a couple of playoff events, it's probably going to happen that way. Mm-hmm.
Jason, great stuff. It's Jason Sobel from SiriusXM and CBS Sports HQ. Always love having you on.
Appreciate it, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
Nikki Javala from The Washington Post is going to join us coming up at 7 as we get into Commanders training camp. We talked a lot about Trump's posts and whether that moves the ball for the name, whether a name change is coming. Coming up next, we'll give you the latest on Terry McLaurin. Will that drama end?